Thank you. Let's together pray one Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite stories is a young boy comes home from school and his dad is watching TV and reading the newspaper, and his dad just wants time to relax and take it easy. But this young boy, who's maybe about 5 years old, wants to talk and wants to play. Well, the dad wants free time, so he opens the newspaper to that map of the weather. You know how you can get like 5 days in advance to see what the weather's going to be like? So the dad figures out a way that he can get a lot of free time. So he takes the map, cuts it up into about 20 different pieces, and gives the son some tape and says, go put the United States back together. And once you put this back together, then come back and we'll talk and we'll play. Well, the boy goes off and, the father figured he might have like an hour to relax and watch TV. Well, within about 10 minutes, the boy comes back and the United States is perfectly taped back together. The father couldn't believe it. He says, how did you do it so quickly? He said, well, I was having a tough time at first, but I noticed when I turned one of the pieces over, there was a picture of a family on the back. So I put the family back together, and the United States took care of itself. Well, we're here today to try to strengthen the family. The topic I was asked to speak on is how to raise children with a generous heart and a missionary spirit. That is the great challenge of life, isn't it? Raising kids is probably going to be your greatest challenge in life. How to raise positive kids in a negative world, how to raise generous kids in a selfish world, how to raise holy kids in a sinful world. That's the world we're living in. So how do we do this? How do we raise generous children with a missionary spirit that will keep their Catholic faith, that will spread their Catholic faith as they grow up? I'll base my observations today on really what I learned from my own parents, who are coming up on celebrating their 45th anniversary this coming September 8th, and how they raised my sisters and myself growing up, on what I observed from my own sister, who has 5 children, ages 10 down to 1, and really the thousands of families I've gotten to know over 13 years as a priest. In the first 4 years, I was in a parish. We did not have a cook, and so every night I had dinner with different families, and it was great because I'd tell them I'd come over and bless their house and do their Sacred Heart enthronement, but I would come over around dinner time if that was okay. And so I got to know really thousands of families. Even now, in my new parish that I'm the founding pastor of, every night, practically, I have dinner with different families, get to know them. So I've actually gotten to know so many thousands of families. Then, of course, from the books and reading that I've done, I have a very good Catholic library, as well as over 5,000 audio tapes in my library, and excellent Catholic videos as well. And some people walk into my study and they see these thousands of books and 5,000 tapes. They say, Father, have you listened to all these tapes? Have you read all these books? I say, of course not, but I feel so much smarter just sitting surrounded with all this wisdom and knowledge. So what I'd like to do is really to share with you some thoughts, some suggestions on how to raise generous children, children with a generous heart and the missionary spirit. Now, of course, it is a great challenge, but all, of course, I think, in my opinion, all of you are doing a tremendous job already. You're here, you're homeschooling your children. As Father Carapi says, you are the great unsung heroes of the church today. And you, as mothers and fathers, will shine for all eternity like the stars in heaven because of the sacrifices you're making right now. You are, I'm sure, already the most generous people in your parishes, generous with your time, generous with your talent, generous with your treasure. And I believe this. I've seen this in the three or four different parishes I've been in over the last 13 years. I have the utmost respect and admiration for homeschooling parents because they really are. You are so generous with your time, talent, and treasure. You live in a society which makes it very difficult for you to do what you're doing, and yet you do such a beautiful job at that. You know, when we look at the difference between raising kids 50 years ago and raising them today, what we see is very startling. 50 years ago, according to studies, the number one influence on children was, first of all, their parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, and the family. The family unit was the number one influence on what molded your child 50 years ago. The second influence was school and church, teachers, priests, rabbis. Third were their friends. And then fourth was the media. Things like radio and music and television was just coming into swing at that time. But today, this has been reversed a lot. Notice the number one influence on kids today in general, not necessarily your kids, but on kids in general, number one influence is their friends. Number two is the media, the TV, music, movies, internet, papers. These things are their number two influence. Number three is their parents, family, grandparents, brothers, sisters. And then number four would be things like the church, the school, teachers, religious figures. So this is the great challenge. And your challenge, of course, is not only to nurture your child's emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being, and to help them to develop good habits, virtues, and holiness, but also to protect your child from the evil influences, to safeguard your child from the evil influences that can come through the music, the TV, the movies, the internet, and things like that. So your job is not only one of nurturing and developing, but it's also one of safeguarding and protecting, to try to protect and safeguard your child's innocence as one of your great responsibilities. Now, when we look at the role of parenting, we see that it's both in the order of nature and in the order of grace. St. Thomas Aquinas says that grace builds on nature. It's very hard to raise saints in a dysfunctional family. So one of what we have to look at is how to establish the good natural virtues, the good qualities, the good attitudes that should exist in families so that the environment is conducive to raise saints within the family. So God's grace builds on nature. Let me spend a few moments now just talking about some of the things we can do just in the natural order to try to make happy, healthy homes. There's a saying that many people spend the next 50 years of their life getting over the first five. I think there's some truth to that, that how children are raised in those early years will determine the direction that they go for the rest of their life. So our call as parents is to create a healthy environment for your children, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that your home is a place of love, joy, and peace, not a war zone, not a dysfunctional family, but a functional family, where there is health in mind, body, and spirit, where there's joy, peace, and love, where there's laughter. There's something to be said about that, that where there is joy, where there is laughter, that's a sign of health. In a marriage, in a relationship, in a place of work, in a family, where there is joy, peace, and love, there is a healthy environment. Our families, of course, are called to be, and our homes, called to be safe havens, offering children physical, emotional, and spiritual security. Now, what can parents do that can nurture this emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being? What are some of the very practical ways to nurture this healthy environment so that children can grow in their emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being? How can we raise children with a generous heart, with love, peace, and joy? Well, some of the recommendations I would give is, first of all, encouragement. Give your children encouragement and praise. And I've always, in observing parents, noticed that some are very good at this and others aren't. Some parents actually nurture the negative qualities in their children. I've seen this so often when parents introduce me to their children and say, "Oh, this is my oldest daughter, or this is my oldest son. He's very good at school. And then this is my shy one over here." Do you ever hear that? "This is my shy one." What they're doing then is sort of watering or encouraging that person to stay in that mindset. So we want to make sure that we water the flowers and not water the weeds. When we see in a child's life, they can produce great, beautiful works of God, the virtues and holiness, if that's encouraged by the parents, or the parents can confirm negative qualities in their children almost even without thinking, by yelling at a child and saying, "You're so messy, you never clean up your room," that's reinforcing that negative habit pattern in the child. So I think first and foremost, parents have to be aware of the power of praise, the power of encouragement, and really the power of positive expectations, not necessarily demands, but positive expectations that you'll have for your children, telling them that, "I know when you grow up, you will become a great saint," or, "I'll bet you'll be a wonderful priest or sister when you grow up." Telling the little girl, "I'll bet you'll be a wonderful mother when you grow up." There was a study done not too long ago where they interviewed like 10,000 prisoners. It was amazing that in almost every case, when that young man or young woman was a young boy or girl, somebody in their life, whether it be a parent or a role model, told that person that, "You'll never amount to anything. You'll probably wind up in prison one day." Isn't it amazing that people tend to, and children tend to, grow into the idea that we have for them, the expectations? People usually will satisfy our expectations for good or for bad. So I would highly encourage you to have good, positive expectations of your children. Give them encouragement, give them praise, water their flowers, their good qualities, and not their weeds. Another idea would be to give acceptance to the children, unconditional love and acceptance. And we do this by smiling at the children, by giving them loving eye contact, and spending a great amount of time with children. And there's a saying that sometime in your life you're going to have to spend time with your children, either young when you're forming them or when they're older when you're visiting them in prison, okay? So you're going to have to spend sometime in your life, you're going to have to invest time with your children. You can do it now or you can do it later. And I would recommend certainly forming that child, spending time with them. Oh, about 10 years ago, the PTA Association of America did a study and found that the average father only spent 2 minutes a day with their infant child. 2 minutes a day in focused, undivided attention with their infant. And I think the more frightening one was that the average father only spent 7 minutes a day with their teenager, one-on-one, in focused attention, without the TV, without the newspaper, without the music, just 7 minutes a day. You know, there are parents that have been going to classes to try to discover, is my child on drugs? Well, of course, if they spent more time with the child, they would be able to pick up on that right away. Now, spending time with the child. You know, children spell love, not L-O-V-E, but T-I-M-E. Spending time with the child. Now, the next recommendation would be to try to give the child as much affection as possible. One child psychiatrist said that a child needs 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for emotional well-being, and 12 hugs a day for emotional growth. So the question is, are you giving your child 12 hugs a day? Just keep that in mind. Another interesting study said that up until the age of 1, young boys and girls get the same amount of affection from their moms and dads, up until the age of 1. But after the age of 1, boys only get 1/6 of the amount of affection that the girls get from their parents. Isn't that interesting that boys are about 6 times more rambunctious as girls, generally speaking? And perhaps there is a connection between the amount of affection that the child gets and how perhaps out of control they could possibly be. So affection is so key. Affection between parents and children builds the child's immune system, makes them healthier physically and emotionally. Of course, another important aspect of parenting and raising kids is communication, being a good listener, understanding the child. And I think Mark Twain once said that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth to listen twice as much as we speak. And I think there's some wisdom to that as well. Being a good listener, being there, really focusing on the child, listening to them, and getting to know them is just so important, giving them a chance. And that one-on-one time, I remember growing up that about once a month, my dad would just take me out on a special outing, whether it be fishing or just throwing the baseball. And then he would do that as well for my sister. That one-on-one time, I think, is so important. If you're not doing that, try that. Even if you have a large number of kids in your family, maybe the mother can just take out the daughter for a half an hour just to go out to get an ice cream cone. You'll learn things one-on-one from your child that you won't learn when all the kids are together. One-on-one time is so important. Another important quality in family life and in marriages and parenting is to honor and respect each other, to have parents really honor and respect the dignity of their child. If you read the writings of the great Maria Montessori, the great Catholic woman who received many awards from the Pope for her writings, she talks about the dignity of the child, the dignity of the human person, which is echoed so much in the writings of Pope John Paul II, to really see the great worth and dignity of that child and to honor and to respect that child. The more honor and respect you give to the child, the more they will give back to you as parents, and the more honor between husband and wife, the more the children will honor their parents. I've often thought about that the more obedient that the parents are to God and the teachings of the church in their own personal lives, the more loving and obedient their children will be to them in the family. Other important qualities within a family would be a kindness, charity, consideration, and trying to have order and harmony within the family life. And this might mean that your children have to do their particular chores and that you share and divide up some of these responsibilities, which I'm sure that you're already doing. One of the great authors today talks about how important it is for the establishment of the relationship between the parents and children in order that they, in a sense, follow the rules. One author says that rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. And isn't this the case also in the church, when people might not have that relationship with the Lord, so it's much harder for them to be following the Ten Commandments and the rules of the commandments of the church because they don't have that relationship with the Lord, with the Blessed Mother, and with the church. So trying to enforce rules without that relationship often leads to rebellion. So the key is to develop that relationship so that the rules will be followed, the commandments will be lived out. Now they also say in parenting that one of the greatest things, perhaps the greatest thing you can do for your children, is to love their mother or their father. So to have a good, healthy marriage is so vital for the healthy environment in which the children should be raised. We don't want children raised in a war zone. We want them hopefully raised in a loving environment where the parents, fathers and mothers, respect and honor each other. So the stronger, the better your relationship is as husband and wife, the more this will trickle down to the children as well. Parents who communicate well, who show affection to each other well, who have joy and laughter in their marriage, that will create the environment through which the children will be able to be raised with healthy physical and emotional and spiritual well-being. And I would also recommend that husbands and wives try to work as a unit in their beliefs. Because if the husband and wife can be unified in their beliefs, it's going to be so much easier to have a common front through which they can show the children. Because kids are very good, aren't they, at playing one parent off the other. Well, Dad said I can do this, or Mom said I can do this. But if there's good communication between husband and wife, and that good relationship, well then, that they will be seen as a unit in the eyes of their children. I would also recommend that you eliminate all destructive criticism of your children in your family. Perhaps this hurts the children more than anything, is destructive criticism. And I would recommend completely eliminating that. If you have a trouble eliminating destructive criticism or putting your children down or putting your spouse down, wear a rubber band on your wrist. And every time you have said a destructive or critical thing towards your spouse or your children, take that rubber band, pull it out to about here, and let it snap back. And pretty soon, you'll learn not to destructively criticize your spouse or your children. Another good way to do it is every time you do it, pull out a $5 bill out of your purse or out of your wallet and put it in a jar. I guarantee you that's a great way to change one's own behavior pattern, because nobody likes to give up $5, $10, $15, $20 a day. And you can give that to charity, of course, or give it to whatever. So avoid, as one author said, never criticize, condemn, or complain. These are the three negative C's in marriage and in family life. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. And in place of these negative things, give your children sincere, genuine compliments. Give your spouse sincere, genuine compliments. Mark Twain also said he could survive 2 months on one good compliment. Isn't that a powerful thought? But sometimes it's just encouragement that people need, especially parents, spouses, children need that encouragement. Now these are what I call sort of just ordinary, natural things that can be done to create that loving environment of love, joy, and peace within the home. Now let me just conclude by giving some supernatural suggestions. Remember, the order of grace builds on the order of nature. Hopefully in our families there is honor, there's respect, there's a relationship, there's communication, there's affection, there's understanding and listening. Those are the natural virtues by which parents can raise generous children. But what I would recommend now is that as you're working both on the natural level, you also work on the supernatural level. The order of grace is built upon the order of nature. So how can we raise children not only that will have a generous heart, which means that they will be unselfish and loving and caring and generous with their lives, but also how can we raise children with a missionary spirit? In other words, how do we keep our kids Catholic in this day and age? Well, there's a good analogy that comes from the airlines. When you're on a flight, right before you take off, the flight attendant says, in case of change in cabin pressure, put on your own mask first, and then put on your child's mask after that. And I've often thought about that as a good lesson for parents, that if you want your children to have the faith, you have to put on that faith first. You have to be the best Catholic, best Christian you can be, as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother. If you take your faith seriously, then chances of that faith being passed on to your children are so much stronger. Now, what are some suggestions in the order of grace, or the supernatural order? First would be to give your child the good, solid foundation in the faith. And this begins long before the teenage years. It begins, really, when your child is in the womb. When that child is within you, talk to that child, say prayers with that child. Every time you receive Holy Communion, I'm sure that child receives special graces and blessings from the Lord. And to accept that child and look forward to that child coming into this world. You know, I've often, in talking and counseling people, have found that some people just never felt accepted by their parents. And if you look back at the circumstances in which that child was conceived or which that child was raised, oftentimes there was a disconnect between the acceptance that that mother was giving to the unborn child and how that child felt accepted. I take, for example, a 16-year-old girl gets pregnant. Does she want that child? Probably not. Maybe she doesn't. And maybe there's this disconnect between that unborn child and the mother. That child, in a sense, perhaps can feel as it grows in the womb, 6 months, 8 months in the womb, perhaps it does not feel that it's wanted. Perhaps even that young 16-year-old girl had planned to have an abortion. Maybe she said, I got to get rid of this. Maybe the boyfriend or the parents were pressuring her. So maybe there was a whole mindset in the mind of the mother, I do not want this child. I'm going to have an abortion. But let's say something happens. Maybe somebody is at the clinic standing there praying the rosary and the girl decides not to have the abortion, which would be, of course, the greatest blessing to save that child's life. But what's happened, though, in that child, though, is that perhaps there is this unacceptance that the child will feel. Well, the parents need to compensate for that, that the mothers, the fathers need to make sure that is healed. And there are, I'm sure, ways that can be healed emotionally and spiritually to make sure that the child now is loved. So even from the womb, the child will be hopefully feeling accepted, even from the womb. And then as the child grows, the child gets baptized, hopefully within a short period of time, hopefully within the first couple weeks or the first month of the child's birth, so that original sin is removed and the child becomes a child of God right away. I'd also recommend giving saints' names to your children so that they can have those good role models of the saints and the angels as they grow up. And then, of course, to practice your own faith. Father Hardin, the great Jesuit, who I'm sure will be canonized one day, said that it's men and women of faith that will produce children of faith. That your faith, if you have a strong faith, you'll be able to pass that on to your children. That holy people reproduce holy people. That people of great faith reproduce other people of great faith in evangelization. So, of course, in your own personal life, be deeply committed to Christ and to the Church. Have that personal relationship with the Lord in your own life, daily prayer, frequenting the sacraments, reading sacred scripture. These kids are amazing. They'll be able to tell whether or not their parents' faith is sincere. So if you are genuine in your beliefs, genuine in practicing your faith, if you're sincere and real in your faith, then the children will see that authenticity, that genuineness, and accept that in their life. One thing that really turns off kids is hypocrisy, where people say one thing but live a different way. Children are edified so much by example. One of the great teachers of all time is example. I would recommend that you pray, not only in your own personal life, but pray as a family. and to inspire your children to pray. One of our national Dominicans once wrote an article in the newsletter at the school she was principal at, saying that it was the example of her father every morning kneeling down by his bedside saying his prayers that inspired her so much. As a young girl, she would go past his room and he would be there, this grown man, this very strong, powerful farmer, rancher, kneeling by his bedside saying his morning prayers. That so impressed this young girl. She became a nun, her brother became a priest, and very good holy Catholic family. The example of the father, the example of the mother, can make such a big difference. Myself, I and my two sisters, we were consecrated by our parents at our baptism, consecrated to the Blessed Mother. I would recommend that you do that with your children, consecrate them to Our Lady at their baptism. If you haven't done it at that age, then do it now. Consecrate your family, your children, even if they're teenagers, entrust them to the Blessed Mother. Go to Mass faithfully as a family, which I'm sure you do. I'm sure you go to Mass every Sunday, every Holy Day. I'm sure many of you, if you're like people in my parish, the homeschoolers will come to Mass every single day, or maybe Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Receive Holy Communion reverently. And that makes such an impression upon the child. If you go up to communion very respectfully, very reverently, and receive communion devoutly, they're observing that all the time, aren't they? Aren't the kids really observing how you act, how you treat the Lord in the Eucharist, the great reverence and respect you show for them? If you want your kids to have respect and reverence for Christ truly present in the Eucharist, then in your own life, be truly respectful and reverent to the Lord when you receive Him in Holy Communion. Next suggestion, go to confession regularly as a father, as a mother, and take your kids regularly to confession. You as parents need to go to confession at least once a month. That would be the minimum. Because the job of parenting is so huge, the job of being a good husband and father is so great, that you're going to need all the graces you can get. If you're not going to confession once a month, you're missing out on these incredible graces that you would receive from regular confession and spiritual direction. Monthly confession would be a minimum, and then take your kids, as soon as they make their first confession, take them once a month to confession as well. You'll notice that the kids can, if they stay away from confession, they begin to fight more and more with their brothers and sisters. They begin to be disrespectful to you as parents. But when you take the kid to confession, you'll see grace working in their life, and you'll see that they should be increasing in their relationship with the Lord and with their members of the family. I'd also recommend that you be praying the daily rosary as well. It's such a powerful prayer. We live in such an evil society, such a sinful society, that you're going to need all the graces you can get. And if you're not saying the daily rosary, you're missing out on those powerful graces that the Lord can give you through the intercession of the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother asked us at Fatima to pray the rosary every single day. Not once a month, not once a week, but to pray the rosary every single day. So make sure that you have that rosary, that spiritual weapon, in your pocket and that you pray it every day. This is our slingshot, like David used against Goliath. We have Goliath in our society. We have abortion. We have all the terrible things that are in our society. What is the great weapon that we can use to fight these things? It's the rosary. The rosary is such an important prayer. Many families say the rosary together as a family each night. They find that to be a great blessing for the family. If your kids are too young for a whole rosary every night, then at least say a decade a day. A decade a day keeps the devil away, as they say. If the kids are too young for a whole rosary, maybe after dinner, just pull out the rosary, say one decade. The rosary is also like a net or a mantle that you place over your child. One holy priest said, and I believe it's true, that if you as a parent pray the rosary every day for your children, eventually they will all make it to heaven. It might not be during your lifetime, but eventually they'll get there. The rosary is that net that you cast over the souls of your children. It's placing Our Lady's mantle over them, and it'll keep them close to the Lord and close to the Blessed Mother and to their faith. I would also highly recommend that you as parents wear the brown scapular and the miraculous medal, and that you make sure your children are enrolled and that they wear their brown scapular and miraculous medal. The evil in our society is so prevalent, the spiritual warfare that goes on is so real, that you have to be using these great weapons of the Church, the rosary, the sacraments, the Eucharist, confession, the sacramentals like the medal, the rosaries. Having holy water in the house is such an important idea. Having a crucifix in the home, a statue of Our Lady. These are spiritual weapons. The evil one will not like to go into your home if it looks like a religious bookstore, right? If it looks like the Catholic shop or some other store, you're going to be in good shape. So I would recommend that you keep close to the sacraments and make use of the sacramentals, especially things like holy water in the home. And these things can really keep the evil influences away and keep your children close to the Lord. Many parents tell me that they go to Eucharistic adoration because they have an adoration chapel nearby their home, and they make a weekly holy hour, and that they take a different child with them each time they go to make the holy hour. And it's a great way to have your children spend time with the Lord. And it might only be once a month for them. It might be every week for you, but once a month for your children. Spending that time before the Blessed Sacrament can make a powerful difference in their life. I would also recommend that you persevere in your homeschooling, which is just a great way to nurture your child's faith and to protect and safeguard them from the evil influences of our society, and to spend time with other good homeschooling, other good Catholic and Christian families, so the example and the power of influence on your children will be great. Having other parents who believe the same as you, that can make a big influence on your kids. Sometimes kids are more open and receptive to receiving ideas from people outside their family. So if you can have some good friends or some mentors or some good coaches or priests or religious sisters, that can also confirm and support you in your lifestyle and in your teaching of the faith, that can be a great help as well. I would recommend that you, in looking at Catholic colleges, that you make sure that you send your children to outstanding Catholic colleges where they won't lose their faith, but where they'll be strengthened in their faith. And I'm sure all of you know all the good colleges. I don't have to mention them. You know which ones they are. Maybe I should mention them for people who will listen to this tape. I graduated from Christendom. I would highly recommend Christendom in Front Royal, Thomas Aquinas in California, Steubenville, and Ave Maria. There's a lot of good colleges starting up now, and I'm sure there's many others out there. But keep that in mind, that at least send your kids there for 1 year, 2 years. If they need to go on to another college after that, well, that's up to them, or up to you. But I would at least start them out after they finish grade school and high school, that you send them to a good Catholic college. And the last couple thoughts I would give you would be to enthrone the Sacred Heart in your homes. How many of you have done that out of curiosity? How many of you have enthroned the image of the Sacred Heart in your home? Okay. I would recommend that if you have not done that yet, to do that. It's a beautiful ceremony. It takes 15, 20 minutes. The family gathers together. You can invite a priest over, or you can do it just as a family, and take the statue or the image of the Sacred Heart and place it in a prominent place in your home, living room, dining room, someplace like that. The Lord said, I will bless every home in which the picture of my heart is honored. How many of you want your homes blessed by the Lord himself, the King of Kings? I'm sure that you'll receive wonderful graces by doing that. Also, the Lord says, I will establish peace in families devoted to my Sacred Heart. How many of you want more peace in your home? I bet every hand would go up. How many of you want more patience? Well, Jesus said, I will give to parents and to people, no matter what state in life they are, all the graces they need for their duties of their state in life if they're devoted to the Sacred Heart. And then we come to apostolic work. I would highly recommend that you get your children to be apostolic Catholics, not just ordinary Catholics. Remember, Father Hardin once said that ordinary families will not survive until the next, for the next 10, 20 years. They're going to be pulled apart by our society. But only heroic families, only apostolic families will survive. Because an apostolic family, apostolic children, are trying to spread the faith. And if you're spreading your faith, you will keep your faith. If you don't spread your faith, you'll tend to lose the faith. Father Faber, the great author, once said that if we don't try to convert the world will be converting us. We're either trying to convert the world or being converted by the world. Neutrality will not work. We can't just sit on the fence. We have to be evangelizing, be apostolic. Look at these very inspirational missionaries that go on their bicycles all over the country. Think of their commitment to their faith. It's very hard to convert somebody who is out there converting you. Okay, if you can get your children to be apostolic by taking them to the nursing home, taking them to the old folks' home to visit a sick person, teaching them how to make rosaries and give rosaries out to people, teaching them how to share their faith with their friends and other kids that they meet. If your children are apostolic, then they will keep the faith. Remember in the Holy Land, some of you I'm sure have been there, there are two major bodies of water. One is the Sea of Galilee, and the other is the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is filled with fish and with life because it gives forth its water into the Jordan River, whereas the Dead Sea receives the Jordan River, but it has no outlet. And so in the Dead Sea, it's like 40% salt. It's so nothing can live in that. It's become stagnant because it keeps its water to itself. The same analogy goes for us. If we share our faith and give our faith away, then our faith will be healthy and strong. If we keep it to ourselves, it becomes stagnant, and we won't even be able to keep the faith that we have. Now, growing up in my own life, the Legion of Mary was what I've been involved in since I was a little kid. In fact, this coming August, I'll be in the Legion now for 30 years. Started out as a little kid, started visiting the nursing homes, the hospitals, working at the Norristown State Mental Hospital, visiting the elderly, the homebound, and for me and for my sisters, that was just a great help. I'm sure many of you have kids that are in the Junior Legion already. If not, I would consider looking into that or other apostolic groups that can give your kids an apostolic outlet. So important to form your children, not only with that generous heart, but with that missionary spirit. Let me end by recommending some books that I have found helpful that perhaps you too may find helpful as well. One of them is Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World by Zig Ziglar, the great motivational speaker. The man has been married over 50 years. He's been fighting immorality for many years. He's a very powerful speaker. I hope the book is still in print, Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. He talks in there about how to deal with peer pressure, how to make sure your kids don't get involved in alcohol, drugs, premarital sex. It's a very good book. A couple books by Gary Smalley would be The Key to Your Child's Heart. I hope all of you have read that. One of the great books on how to keep your child's heart and spirit open to you. Because, sometimes if you offend somebody, they close their heart or mind to you. Well, how do you open your child's heart? The Key to Your Child's Heart by Gary Smalley. He also wrote a book called The Blessing. The Blessing by Gary Smalley. How children need a blessing from their parents. How you need to feel that your parents are blessing you in that relationship. How you can give the blessing to your children. Another book, How to Keep Your Kids Catholic, Bert Gezzi. the five love languages, and also the five love languages for children, which we read a month ago in my mom's group. A great book showing how all of us like to give love and receive love in five different ways. Some through just spending time with a person, others through the giving of gifts, others through physical affection or touch, others through words. There are different ways in which we like to give and receive love. Find out which way your child likes to give and receive love. Because not only does a child have to know if he or she is loved, the child has to feel that he or she is loved, that the child has to know that they are loved unconditionally by their parents. And if they feel that way, then they will have high self-dignity and self-respect as a young person. Another book, Why You Act the Way You Do, by Beverly LeHay, talks about the four temperaments. Each one of your child is either choleric, sanguine, melancholic, or phlegmatic. Sometimes we're a combination. Study the temperament, because you'll have to treat your children differently if they're one of those, if they're a different temperament. You don't treat a phlegmatic child the same way as you treat a choleric child or a sanguine child. Why You Act the Way You Do is a great book. It tells you how to determine the personality of your child and the temperament, and also of your spouse, by the way, and then be able to deal with that. It makes a big difference. Then another book, How to Be a Hero to Your Kids, by Josh McDowell. He talks about the six A's of parenting, things like affection and authority and approval and acceptance, how to be a hero to your kids. Also another book called Character Building. I forget the author, but Character Building, very good book. Another book which might be out of print is called The Miracle of Affirmation, by Dr. Conrad Bars, a great Catholic psychologist, Dr. Conrad Bars, The Miracle of Affirmation. So these are what I would recommend for you to read and to study to have your child be able to have a generous heart and a missionary spirit. And one thing to keep in mind when we say a generous heart, this means, are they willing to be unselfish in giving themselves to God and perhaps even to the church as a priest or as a nun? And I think that if you, as wonderful parents that you are generous, which I'm sure all of you are, because I've seen in my own parish that you're so generous in so many different ways, that to create that environment for the kids, that they too will have that generous heart, will have a lot more priests, a lot more religious sisters within the church. And you yourselves, I'm sure, will be so blessed by being able to raise these children who have a generous heart and who will have a missionary spirit, that they will go out from your family to help convert the world. The question is, what would be good books for your children to bring to Eucharistic adoration? Yes, there are some very good children's books. The whole Father Lavasic series is excellent. There's about 50 books in that series. I think any of those religious books would be good. There is one about the Eucharist, one about the Mass. So there's so many hundreds of good Catholic children's books. I think any of them would be very good for Eucharistic adoration, especially the ones that contain prayers that they can say, prayers to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. For the teenagers, they think those books would be too young for the teenagers. But I'm sure if you went to one of the Catholic bookstores, you could look around, and there are books, I think, more on a little higher level, or even regular adult prayer books would be good. And to teach a child how to make a holy hour, maybe they can say the rosary while they're there, maybe they can just take the Bible with them, or I think any nice prayer books will be good, because then they can... The main thing is to get them before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. That's the main thing. Just like if you go out into the sun, you will get the rays of the sun. You'll get a suntan just by being outside. Just by being in the presence of Jesus in the tabernacle, you're exposing your child to wonderful rays of grace that come from the Blessed Sacrament. Let's conclude by saying the glory be together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.